News Talk Breakfast. In association with AIR. Seamless connections with Ireland's number one broadband provider.
For more on COVID, I'm joined now by the CEO of the HSE, Paul Reid. Paul, I know it's not really your bailiwick, mandatory quarantines and things like that, but NPHET have certainly looked for tighter restrictions. Does the HSE have a view on this?
Good morning, Ciara. Yeah, I can certainly give you my own view on it. I mean, there's certainly something different about this variant, and we have to look at everything differently. And I say something different, I'm taking my guidance from consultants and ICU and our hospitals about what they're seeing. So something has definitely changed. There definitely is a higher impact of it, most likely a higher mortality from it. In terms of what might... So we need to look at everything, specifically around quarantine, travel. My only concern are just a couple of things. One, just come what Shane said there, I just have a fear at this stage we start to lose focus about what are the basics and what works. And it is always going to come back to human behaviour. So I've seen throughout this pandemic the focus shift from various different solutions, whether it's, you know, address the meat plants, address direct provision centres, address the young people. Now it's quarantine and travel. It may be a factor. I'm sure it will have to be looked at. But I just always get a concern that we're always striving for the next silver bullet when we know the best solution around all of this is individual collective behaviour. So
yeah.
I'm sure it's going to be some element of a solution, but I just always have the concern we lose focus on the basics.
And you're absolutely right about the basics. And Shane made the very valid point that community transmission here was not driven by an influx of people. It was, I suppose, driven by social activity on the island. But we're in lockdown. If we reduce it all back down here by the significant efforts people are making now, mandatory quarantine seems like a sensible way of keeping it like that, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, again, it is about getting it down to the levels that we know we had it in last summer and how we can sustain it at that stage to those levels. The one caution I always put is whatever we're recommending or whatever next solution we're putting in place, you know, it needs to be practical and it needs to be implementable. And that's some of the challenges around quarantine that, you know, need to be talked through. But look, I'm going to leave that to, you know, government to make their assessment and analysis on a wide range of databases. But from my perspective, I really get a concern sometimes we lose the focus on the basics.
Paul, you said last week in terms of the hospital system that we were beyond strain. Where are we at in terms of surge capacity and all that now? Has the worst passed? Are we coming out the other side or are we still in significant difficulties?
Yeah, we're still in a significant challenge for all our hospital system. But just on a positive point, can I just make the point? The actions taken by our critical care teams across the country, you know, maybe not be seen by everybody, but they have actually saved lives. Their preparation around PPE, oxygen, ventilation, redeploying people for more ICU beds, 60 extra beds being brought on very quickly, moving patients between hospitals, sometimes across the country, utilising the private hospital agreement for more ICU capacity and giving that national oversight. They really have done a tremendous job and saved lives. Right now, today, we do have 1,930 people in hospitals with COVID. 219 of those are COVID in ICU. Mm-hmm. We have 25 ICU beds available on a national level. So if we get to the 345 beds, which we now have open in our surge plan, or 350, it is beyond that point where it gets to really providing the levels of care that we, our teams, want to do and always try to do. Becomes higher risk, and that's okay. Everything we do every day is trying to avoid that.
Within the hospitals, infection control has been an issue, Paul. We've heard the INMO call for things like greater bed spacing, improved ventilation, a change in the usage of masks. Are you concerned that our hospitals, in terms of their ability to control infections within the hospitals, are an issue? We know that about a third of the patients in our hospital who have COVID caught it in there.
Yeah, look, again, first of all, this is not just an Irish phenomenon, and we always have to be very focused about infection prevention and control, and we put a huge focus on it with our teams. Hospitals are unrecognisable today, Ciarán. I know you would know this in terms of the dual pathways that exist between COVID, non-COVID, COVID wards, non-COVID wards. The amount of focus put in it, and I just sometimes get a cause concern that, you know, again, it's shifting blame. Is it the hospitals responsible? The reality of it is, if you look back to the expert panel on nursing homes, where they did a really detailed assessment of outbreaks in nursing homes, and the analysis was, it didn't really, there wasn't a distinguishing factor whether it was an older type of nursing home or newer, a public or a private. It was really about where the community transmissions were, and it's really hard to stop transmission when transmission levels are at such a high level in community, to stop it getting into some of our healthcare systems.
So if the background levels are that high, despite the best will in the world, is that what you're saying?
Well, it's impossible to put a ring of steel or a coat of armour around all of our healthcare settings. So it does get in. So what we have to do is continuously strengthen, look at all our infection prevention and control measures. And, you know, that's what we remain very focused on. I do get a little bit of cause concern. Our staff have worked relentlessly for a year, almost a year at this now. And, you know, it is hard for them to keep their guard all of the time. You know, we have gone into kind of tea rooms where
I have no doubt it is incredibly difficult, but I suppose it nonetheless has to be dealt with as best as it can. The vaccine shortages, the news that came out over the weekend, Paul, the delays in the AstraZeneca vaccine, obviously a significant blow. Do we know yet what it means in terms of our ability to deliver our vaccine programme here as planned?
Well, we have a high-level task force meeting today, chaired by Professor Brian McCrahan. The news obviously only broke over the weekend. In terms of AstraZeneca and our delivery, my own kind of sense of this has always been, I think we're going to face, you know, major significant bumps like this along the road because of the demand and supply demand. We're going to assess it. We don't have clarity just yet, and I know this has escalated all the way to the Taoiseach and at EU heads of government, where it'll be addressed, and I expect discussions to happen today at European level to clarify the issue, to clarify the supply. From our perspective, what we do know is the supply they committed to us, AstraZeneca, for February is committed. So we will be starting the process of vaccinating those over the age of 70 through some of our GPs and pharmacists. We don't know now the impact about how far into that category or cohort we will get.
Okay, so it will start in February, but we don't really know where we'll be March, April. Is that what you're saying?
We'll have to clarify that this week. I mean, the one benefit we do see coming along is obviously other suppliers and other approvals of vaccines.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we get to a level where you have greater contingency, you know, you can meet these bumps that happen along the road.
Just lastly, Paul, the other thing that I know you had said over the weekend is how anxious you were to get the test and trace system back up and running. Obviously, testing of asymptomatic contacts was suspended when it became overwhelmed a number of weeks ago. How close are we to be able to do that again now?
Yeah, again, just to reassure our listeners, we have always continued to test close contacts of outbreaks, where we've had outbreaks, childcare facilities, healthcare workers. But we do want to get back to the wider community right now. Now, thankfully, we've seen yesterday again below 2,000. We're really anxious to do this. And I think if we start to see that now for a trend for the next few days, we will be very anxious to get back on testing of all close contacts.
So we could see it this week?
Yeah, later this week. If we get a consistent level below 2,000 for each day this week, you know, we'd be really looking at 40 in the next week. But that's, you know, we want to get there as quickly as possible.
Look, thank you very much for speaking to us this morning. That is CEO of the HSE there, Paul Reid.